It looks like it's going to be an interesting trip. Looking forward to hearing who's going to go and when they get back, hearing what God did. That could be great. Good morning. Good to have you here. This morning, if you have a Bible with you, I invite you to take it and turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We've been working our way through the book of John. Each chapter pausing to add to our mosaic of who is Jesus. Each chapter giving us just a different picture of who he is. The opening of John 8, I'll be honest, it presents an interesting challenge. Because if your Bible's like mine, in fact, if your Bible's like most Bibles, there is a parenthetical note at the start of chapter 8. I put a screenshot of it. Hopefully it'll show up. There we go. At issue is the fact that this story is found in most but not all of the Greek manuscripts that we base our Bible translations on. It's one of a few passages in the New Testament. And as a result, while every translation I've read includes this story, every one of them has that note. It's one of those awkward biblical debates that for some people who love that kind of thing, it causes them to dive in. For those who really struggle with it, it causes them to lean way out. But throughout time, there has been debate between the heavyweights of biblical interpretation as to what to do with this passage. And it's one where you can pretty much take a line and divide it in half. Put half of them on one side and they will tell you, John wrote this and it was intended to be part of his book. And then the other half will say, no. John didn't write it. It was a story that a scribe who was translating one of the manuscripts, he put here because he thought it made sense. And they go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And hundreds of years later, you know what they've decided? It sounds like Jesus. And it talks about God's grace. And the way God treats each and every one of us. And that's why it's included in our Bibles. It's a great story. It's one of the most grace-filled, hope-filled stories you're going to find in the entire New Testament. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. But first, let's pause and pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your amazing grace. We've sung about it in a variety of forms this morning. Thank you that you do not treat us as our sins deserve. Thank you that you've drawn us from a life that was leading us nowhere, a life of darkness and sin and guilt and shame and hopelessness. You've drawn us from that place and given us hope. Hope not just for this life, but hope for eternal life. Because we can find forgiveness for our sin, we can find peace with you, we can find freedom from guilt and shame. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. This morning as we look at your word, would you open our eyes to see it from a fresh perspective perhaps, or just to receive what you would say to us this morning, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I think it was a Chuck Swindoll book I read years ago that first introduced me to something that the U.S. government calls the Conscience Fund. It's a fund they developed back in 1811, and every year they get letters like this one. I'm sending $10 for blankets I stole while serving in World War II. My time on this earth is coming to an end. My mind could not rest. I want to be ready to meet God. Every year they get letters and about $45,000 in cash from people who are trying to find a way to deal with guilt.